B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Labor Day weekend, Friday. A lot of people on the road already, getting out of town, getting to the shore, going to the Poconos, wherever you're going. Be safe on the road and enjoy today's show as we try to wrap up what's going on. You know, it's really funny. It almost seems like I'm on a commercial from the Charles Barkley Show. Doesn't it feel weird? It's like we were in here like 5 minutes ago with Charles.
It does kind of feel like
time
that.
Got lost somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
What is that about?
You've got such a presence. It's
I was
so
just
big.
Gonna. Yeah, he's just so.
Yeah, everything he does is just
encompassing.
So big. Yeah,
it's
and he's
like
so natural. At
yeah,
it.
It's like no hours have gone by.
It's like right back at it.
It's really strange. But anyway, hopefully, if you listened to the show yesterday, you had fun listening to Charles. I thought Charles was at his very best yesterday. I really thought it was the best Charles we've ever had. He told a lot of different stories yesterday.
Absolutely, and for people, if you missed it, which you shouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
NBC Sports Philadelphia will be re-airing it in its entirety after the Phillies game tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. So it'll be on TV tomorrow night. But we're also running it a couple times this weekend on the radio.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So you'll hear it probably Saturday afternoon, maybe Sunday morning, somewhere in there.
I'll find it on the schedule.
Yeah. So if you missed it, it's worth it because he was great, as he usually is. And it's like, you know, people say, oh, Mike, you guys have a good chemistry. I just let, you know, I throw a volley up and let him smash it. That's basically all I do. All right, so let's look at what's going on here with the Eagles in, I got to be honest with you, that was the most dreadful television I have ever had to see. And you're sitting there and you go, why am I watching this? And finally, I just cut it off. And I said, I can't watch it anymore because it was ridiculous to watch. It's a waste of our time, this fourth preseason game. They really shouldn't have it. You know, you should be able to make up your mind in the first three preseason games. What were the Eagles playing for last night? They're playing for like the fifth spot in several positions. So that's what we got out of it last night. And one thing we got out of it, the only thing we got out, well, we only got two things out of it. Number one is Deshaun Hall makes the team as the defensive end, right? You can't cut a guy who led the preseason in sacks. Can't do it. So he's going to be one of the defensive end replacements. And he'll probably get a lot of playing time. Like, he'll get Curry playing time. He might be the first guy in the rotation coming off the defensive end, even before Curry.
He has to be, right? And he passed Josh Sweat. He looks like a better
He passed Josh
player.
Sweat, and Sharif Miller has no chance to play this year. But they'll keep him on the roster because he's a draft pick, obviously. So that's the one thing we learned. And we also learned that the Eagles will probably go with four running backs. I know there was this plan that maybe they could slide a fifth in there, but they gave the opportunity to both of them. They gave the opportunity to Adams in game three. They gave the opportunity to Smallwood last night. Neither of them took advantage of the opportunity. Both of them will be cut. And if they're insecure about only keeping four running backs on the roster, and they probably could be because Darren Sproles is going to play sparingly, they're better off getting a guy that's going to be cut right now than the two guys they have. And I know there are a lot of people that like Josh Adams because of Central Bucks South connection, but he didn't grab a job, and Smallwood was Smallwood. So they're going to either go with four running backs, or they're going to pick up a fifth from somebody else's team. So what else did we learn? We learned anything about the linebacker situation? Did we learn anything about the defensive tackle situation? Will both Hester and Ridgeway make it, Tyrone?
I don't know, but I did like what I saw of some of the other guys who are going to get cut along that line a little bit. The problem is there's just not room for all those guys. I actually thought I saw some decent things from some of the backup to the backup linemen.
Who did you see?
What was the kid's name? He kept on, Ross Tucker kept pointed out when the guy kept peeling off. He was making plays downfield. He's real athletic, but they said he's going to get cut. So I was like, that kind of stinks.
Chateau?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chateau. I liked him a lot.
But he got hurt in that game, too.
Oh, he ended up getting hurt?
Yeah, he got hurt in the game. Later in the game.
Because I switched over and started watching some of the tennis. Coco Golf, and I was watching because I couldn't watch that.
Yeah, Chateau probably won't make it. So let's go over who we think are going to make the team here. Just our personal roster, because everybody comes out with a projected 53. So the quarterback situation is settled. McCown will be the two. Unfortunately, Cody Kessler gets cut, and Nate Sudfeld comes back, and he'll be the third quarterback. Nate Sudfeld lost. Can you believe this? He lost his backup quarterback job. Like that.
That hurt.
Like that. All right, the running backs will be four. Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders get most of the carries. Darren Sproles as the novelty back, and Corey Clement as kind of an all-purpose guy they can use in a lot of different areas. Now, the wide receiver is interesting because Ward caught a couple balls last night. And so the only – we know that Jeffrey, Deshaun Jackson, Aguilar, and J.J. Arcega Whiteside will definitely make it. Mac Hollins is the consensus. But do you believe that Greg Ward should make it over Mac Hollins?
I do. I want to think that preseason matters a little bit. And I think sometimes you should have to go out there and perform. And I know they project and they know more than me. But Ward, to me, looks like he has some – one, he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I don't know why he couldn't play special teams. I have no reason to believe he can't. And I think he can play inside, outside, a little bit more versatility. I think he's earned that fifth spot. If it was up to me, it would be Ward over Hollins.
All right, well, let me ask you this, though, because let's look at it logically. Hollins probably has some value around the league as a special teamer if they cut him.
For sure.
Ward can get through waivers. Do you think if they cut him, he's going to get through waivers. They can practice squad him.
Yeah. Yeah,
can't do that to Hollins.
No, he'll get
picked
up.
Probably he'll still be with the squad, I think, but I think he'll be in a practice squad. So now, how many years can they keep him on the practice squad? Has he been on practice squad 2 years already?
I think you can do it for 3 years.
You can do it for three?
I think three is the max.
All right, now, tight end. They're only going to keep three, right?
Yeah.
Ertz, Goddard, and Rich Rodgers is hurt, so Joshua Perkins probably makes it.
Yeah.
Even though Kid Ellis made a stand.
Yeah, he played decent.
Played okay.
Nice catch in the scene.
Yeah, but he's probably not going to make it.
No, I'm in it.
All right, now here, the offensive line is interesting. Will they keep 10 or will they keep 11? And will they keep Wisniewski or they won't keep Wisniewski? Well, may a lot of make the roster, will be on the practice squad. Peters, Simalu, Kelsey, Brooks, Lane Johnson will be your starters. Dillard, Vitae. Matt Pryor didn't look good last night, but he'll make the team.
Yeah, he hasn't looked good the whole preseason.
Maialata will make the team if he's not put on the injured list. And Nate Herbig, the backup center, will he make it?
See, I've read that there's a chance that they slide. They do like him, but then there's a chance that Selamalu becomes your backup. He's your backup, and then you move other guys around. So I think he makes it, though, because I think they like him.
All right. Defensive line, they're going to have to keep 11 if they keep Hester. They like Hester.
I don't think you can cut Hester.
All right. So then it goes Derek Barnett, Cox, Malik Jackson, Brandon Graham, Vinny Curry, Deshaun Hall.
Yeah.
That's how I'm ranking them in order now. Deshaun Hall, well, Jernigan and Ridgeway, your tackles. Curry and Deshaun Hall, your primary defensive end substitutions. Sharif Miller has to make it. And now it's between Josh Sweat and Trayvon Hester. Or both.
Sweat makes the team. He makes the team.
All right. So do you think that Hester will make it? When push comes to shove. Yeah. 10 or 11?
I think they go 11.
11.
I think they go 11.
All right. Linebackers Bradham Hill, although he's injured. Zach Brown, they carry L.J. Fort. Does the kid from Wisconsin have a chance to make it?
I think yes, because I was reading something about compensation picks, and maybe Fort doesn't make it, and they keep the kid. Because then, since they signed him, they don't lose. Even though it would be a $2 million hit to cut him. But compensation pick-wise, you're basically paying $2 million for a fourth-round pick. And I've read that they may look at that as a possibility.
All right. Cornerback Darby Jones will start week one. Rasul Douglas, Maddox in the slot. Cravon LeBlanc, they're talking about putting on the injured list.
Yeah, PUP or IR, yeah.
And then there's Jalen Mills.
He's going to be on the PUP list.
So, will the veteran make it? The guy from Dallas?
I don't think so.
He won't make it?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. And now we go to safety. They signed a lot of veteran safeties here, but the two backups that will survive probably be Zendejo and Rudy Ford, who they traded for.
No.
Right? No?
No. What's the... The big guy they got from the Titans. I'm always blanking on his name.
Zendejo, Cyprian.
Yeah, he's making the team.
You think Cyprian makes the team?
Because I think they're going to end up using him in that hybrid linebacker.
So you think Cyprian makes it over Rudy Ford?
I do.
Who they traded for?
Yeah, I think he makes the team.
Okay, and I guess that's it. Specialists, we know what they are. So the team is set, and it's just a matter now, the long wait on what the Eagles are and what they will be in game one, when things should be a little iffier with Carson Wentz not having played, and he's taking his first snap there against the Redskins. How you feeling about that?
I'm actually okay. Aaron Rodgers didn't play at all. There's been other quarterbacks that didn't play at all. With the amount of injuries there were, it's a little bit of a concern early in week one in the game, but now that I know DeSean Jackson's playing, I'm more comfortable. I can live with it. A rusty quarter is worth it.
All right, so we're asking you to evaluate your squad now. Preseason, finally. God, thanks a lot. It's over, and now it's just a long wait to game one. What are your views on this team right now? What did you see? Well, we didn't see a lot in preseason, so what do you feel about this team at this point? And tonight, of course, the Phillies open a major series with the New York Mets, the struggling Mets, who had DeGrom pitching for them last night and still couldn't win. So that's, five in a row for the Mets they've lost? Struggling Mets team. The Phillies need to put them away, but the Cubs are now 2.5 up. And 2.5 at this point might be insurmountable. It's a lot of games. I know it doesn't seem like a lot of games, but when you're trying to catch up and you can't win a lot of games in a row, 2.5 game lead is a lot.
That's why they have to win. It's mandatory that they win these next two Mets series. This one and next weekend, they must win the series. Anything less, it's over.
All right. We'll be talking about a lot of stuff today. The Philly Fanatic, because some kid wrote a story, it was in Philly.com, that the Fanatic is now over. And people are saying, Mike miswrote that. I don't want people to misunderstand me. I'm not a big fan of the Fanatic. I think it's played the shticks I've seen a million times. I realize the value of the Fanatic for others.
Thank you.
So I'm not advocating that they do away with the Fanatic. I know that would never happen.
No.
Despite the stupid legal free agency thing, which means nothing to me. So there have been a couple of columns that have attacked the Philadelphia Institution lately. One was the Wawa. I've read two columns on that Wawa's overrated. And now this kid, who's from Pittsburgh, by the way, he's a Drexel student, comes out and says the Fanatic ought to be disbanded. And eliminated.
It's garbage.
So we'll talk about that. Also, I have a bag of pods here. I have finally solved the mystery of my tree. These are the pods. I will take them out. God. We will have a discussion on what these are. Because what I've found is that not only is this tree not an annoyance now that I know what it is, but it's a value.
It tastes like chicken.
It is a value. Who knew? Not only can you get nuts out of this that are nutritious, but you can tap the trunk of the tree for syrup.
Look at that.
I'm going to hug that tree when I get home.
You shouldn't.
610-632-0975. That's how you get in. slow day. I understand it's Friday, Labor Day, not going on, but let's make it a good day here on the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. Back after that.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
This. Hi, it's Mike Missanelli Show back on a Friday, Labor Day Friday. The office is gone. They've been dismissed.
We're here.
We're here by our lonesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. I like it. I actually like a Friday afternoon because a lot of people are listening, driving to the shore.
Yeah, or right, watching
right now,
from
right,
the shore.
Right now they're driving, or they got there Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
took the whole day off. And they're watching. So we should have plenty of opportunities to talk to the people today. Right?
Yes.
Apparently not right now. But but here's how you get in. 610-620-975. 2 o'clock hours brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's Canada location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start the Twitter poll. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. And if you're a landscaper, check out the great new line of equipment they have over at Paul B. Moyer. Also, you can repower some of your equipment because they have engine replacements in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Over 200 votes on this one early so far, Mike. How many games do the Phillies win against the Mets this weekend? 29% say 3, 38% say 2, 23% say 1, and 10% believe 0. They will get swept.
All righty. Philly action this weekend. I just wrote down my 10 most important Eagles by rank.
Okay.
I want to see if you guys agree with this. All right, so let's go with number 1. Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number 2, Fletcher Cox.
Yep.
Yes.
Number 3, Malcolm Jenkins.
Yep.
Number 4, Zach Ertz.
Yep, still with you.
Number 5, Brandon Graham.
They got to get a pass rush.
They do.
He's got to be healthy this year. He is healthy this year. Yeah, I go with that. That
All
makes
right.
sense.
Number 6, Deshaun.
Okay.
He opens everything up.
Yeah,
that's why he's important.
There's one position I need to hear from you soon.
Number 7, Lane Johnson.
Okay, now we're talking.
Number 8, Alshon Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Jason Peters.
Yes.
Yes.
Number 10, Dallas Goedert.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh.
That high.
Now, and here's what I'm thinking. If you notice, there are no cornerbacks in here.
Right, that's why I thought you might put a Sidney Jones or a Darby in number 10.
They haven't earned it. They haven't earned it yet. So while we need them to play well, I can't put them on the list yet because they're unknowns. The other guys are known. You got to have these guys. I don't know if we're going to have those guys. So I'd be giving them too much credit to be put on the list just yet. Now, is that a problem? Because I feel that way, you might not feel this way, but because I don't have a cornerback on the most important, does that mean they're deficient, and is that going to be a problem?
Well.
And I don't have a running back on here either.
No, but that's okay.
Okay.
Because you do know Howard can play.
Mm-hmm.
And you do know Clement, now that he's healthy, he can play.
Mm-hmm.
So you... And even if the rookie, I'm saying you have two running backs who you know for a fact are football players,
yes.
even without Sproles and even without the
right,
rookie.
But the way I looked at it, the running backs are way less important than the receivers for this guy.
You're right.
At this point.
Yep.
All right.
And if those guys are getting open and he can get the ball out of his hands quick, that makes mm-hmm. a huge difference to keep him healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Get open quick, boom, boom, boom.
Yes. So you think a cornerback should be on here?
I do. I think that Jones is very important. You draft guys hoping that they develop. if he develops, if he does, and we talked about how healthy he looks and they talked about practice and everything, if he develops, this defense can suddenly be really good.
But here's the rationale. He wouldn't even start if Mills was healthy.
See, I don't know that. That's what I'm wondering about. If
Darby would have been the start. Now, if you could say Darby's more important, I would go with Darby. Darby's got to be more important than Sidney Jones. Sidney Jones is a fledgling star.
But I know what Darby is. Darby's a nice corner.
Mm-hmm.
Jones physically could be a shutdown corner.
Really?
Physically, yes.
Have you seen any hint of that?
No. What I said was okay. Physically. What I'm saying is that if he's they say he's healthy, his quickness, that straight line speed that he has, he's supposed to be a put me on an island type corner. If he's that, this defense is now good because you can roll all everything. Jenkins is a genius. If he doesn't have to worry about one side of the field, this defense is now an impact defense.
Right. So the only change you would make would be at 10. You take Goddard off and put Sidney Jones on.
Yes. And I don't know how much the playing time is going to split between him and Aguilar, because I don't think they're going to play together a lot. Now, maybe after week one, I have to change the whole thing and say, oh, they're doing 12 personnel all the time. He needs to be eighth, and Aguilar is off because he's not even playing. Yeah. But I don't know that yet.
Okay. In the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to start. This has become a tradition like no other, like the Masters.
That's right.
We're going to do the annual Philly athlete draft, like the fantasy draft.
Yep.
Everybody gets fantasy football things in line. We do it a different way. We do it every year, the day before the Labor Day break.
Right.
So, in other words, we're going to draft players, you're going to draft players. And how long are we going to go all out on this, right? We'll extend the list all the way down.
Yep.
And we'll flip a coin on who has first pick.
Right.
Should we do that, or should we give the audience first pick?
Now, last year, you gave the audience first pick, and it did not help.
No, it did not help them. They weren't smart with it.
If I take the first pick, I'm going to be ahead of the game right away, and I want the audience to have a fair shot.
The first caller of the 3 o'clock hour gets the first pick.
All right, so there it is. We start the fantasy draft at 3 o'clock. The first caller of the 3 o'clock hour drafts the audience's first. Now, this is all sports, all right? By merit, you're drafting everybody who has played here. Can they be on the team now?
They can be current. This is all time. So if you're picking a current, it has to be a great player.
Okay.
It can't just be a guy.
All right, this will be fun. 3 o'clock, we'll start that. We'll start with James in Bucks County right here. It's James, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
How you doing, Mike?
Good.
You stole my thunder. While I was on hold, you started talking about how important the DBs are.
Yeah, well, go ahead. What's your thoughts on the DBs?
Well, they really played together. They've been hurt, and it's communication. I mean, it takes a lot of communication. You know, who's where, who's covering what, and that's a concern for me.
Well, it should be a concern at least in game one, because this team basically is plug and play in that game against the Redskins. Right? You're throwing a bunch of guys in there that haven't played together. And it'd be kept on the sidelines for most of the time. So you're counting that continuity from down one will apply.
Continuity, I don't think they will have the continuity.
All right, so do you think they're in trouble in game one?
Maybe not in trouble, because I think what helps them is their defensive rush.
Yeah, and look who they're playing against.
Yeah.
Case Keenum is the
quarterback. Quarterback. No.
Yeah, and they're not, they don't have a lot of weapons.
That's what scares me for the first game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about
that. Okay. Yeah, if it was a good quarterback, it would scare me too. This guy, he got bludgeoned the last time he played the Eagles. So they know what he's about.
Can I say one more thing, right, Mike?
Yes.
Your tree in your yard?
Yeah.
And you said it can produce maple syrup, correct?
Yeah. No, it produces beech nut syrup, not maple.
Oh, okay.
It's a beech tree.
Well, yeah, I figured as soon as I saw the pause, I knew it was a beech nut.
Yes.
But any tree can produce syrup.
Oh, really? Well, apparently this is very nutritious syrup.
Yeah.
This is very nutritious. See, what I've just found about this, and I'm going to show this to you guys. Thanks for the call. This is the pod that we're talking about, right? It's a football-shaped pod, and it opens up. I couldn't find one that was closed, because at this stage, they all open up. It's a little spiky. When it's closed, it's like a little football. And it's got spikes all around it. Yeah. And I cut my foot on one of these things.
Can't believe
it. But what they do is they open up. As you can see, they open up. And inside is this. It's a seed. It's a nut. So it unleashes this nut.
Now, I tried a beach nut. You gave me one the other day.
I brought one the other day. Now, what you do with these, apparently they have tannins. And when you roast them, it mellows out the tannins, and you have something that's tasty.
Huh.
Yeah, my buddy Michael's a landscape architect, said it's a beach tree, and he sent me, like, I sent him the photo. And what I didn't know is that these are edible, and if you tap into the bark of the tree, you can get beach nut syrup. Now, I believe these are like Native Americans have been eating the beech nut for a lot of years.
Okay.
20% protein.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
In this little nut.
That's fantastic.
Yes. So there was a gum company called Beech Nut.
Uh-huh.
I think they produced, I remember eating Beech Nut gum.
Oh.
It was Wrigley and Beech Nut were the two companies that went back.
Oh, Wrigley won.
Yeah, I don't think beech nuts are in it anymore.
Uh-huh.
But this is it, man.
I'm glad you
solved the mystery.
Well, and now you might have a money tree.
They look exactly right. They look like a little annoyance at first, but now I see the value in the beech nut.
They're a delicious snack.
Yeah.
Now, but I got to check on that caller, what he just said about how any tree can produce syrup. So if I go down to some of these trees in Philly.
On the parkway.
Yeah, on the parkway, I could get syrup. Yeah. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
I didn't sound, what about a pine tree? I'm going to get some pine syrup.
Yeah, pine, you can get some, it'll ooze out.
Right, but
pine.
Is that edible? Is that syrup?
I don't know if it's edible.
That's what I mean. Like, just because it has some sap, syrup is supposed to be edible for
pancakes.
Yeah, can I put that on a pancake?
Can we put your beech syrup on pancakes, your beech tree syrup on pancakes?
Well, let me investigate that.
Yeah, I want to find that out.
I know it takes a while to collect
on a French toast?
Maybe this winter you can collect the syrup and then we'll have a pancake breakfast in the spring.
It is possible that now I've created kind of a Nutella with the beech nut.
That's it.
Beech nut, yeah, the Beech Nut Corporation.
And then we could sprinkle the beech nuts on the pancakes.
Beech nut baby food.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Beech nut baby food.
Yes. That's still around.
Yes, it is. It is still around. Okay. Let's go to Bill and Radnor. Bill, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, so I got a little outside-the-box thinking here that I'm going to need your thoughts on.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of a three-way trade here, Eagles, Texans, Miami. Eagles send a second or third round pick conditional. Miami sends Tunsil to Houston. Houston sends Clowney to the Eagles, and Houston gets the first and the third. Oh, Miami gets the first and the third.
Miami gets the first and the third from who?
First from Houston. They've already offered it along with Clowney.
Uh-huh.
Miami doesn't want Clowney. They'd rather a second high pick.
Uh-huh.
Who
do the Eagles give away to get Clowney?
Third round pick.
A third round pick. Just one third round pick. It's not going to happen.
Well,
it's not enough.
The Eagles and the Seahawks are the only teams that Clowney wants to re-sign with. So his value is significantly diminished. I mean, the Miami has already rejected a trade for Tunsil that Houston sent to them as a first and Clowney.
Listen, I'm sure that the front office of the Eagles have explored if they're interested at all in getting Clowney. So while I appreciate your efforts in trying to foster a trade, I'm sure that they're discussing those very things. So I don't know what to tell you. Does it make sense to me where the Eagles will only give up a third round pick and get Clowney? Yeah. Would I do that? Yeah, but I mean, practically, is it really, going to happen that way?
Seinfeld or The Wire? Better show.
Other two different shows. The Wire is the best show of all time. Seinfeld is just a sitcom.
Agreed.
I mean, it's not a show. It's a sitcom.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Seinfeld or The Wire? You get compared to Wire to, like,
Narcos. Sopranos.
Yeah.
Hill Street Blues. Different dramas.
No, Hill Street. No, the why you got to compare it to other premium channel series. You can't have like a. See, this is my problem with this Yellowstone thing because people have been screaming at me to watch Yellowstone.
So people say it's good.
I start binging it.
Is it good?
I'm only through the second episode. But you can't binge it without the commercials.
Nah. I can't.
You got to sit through the commercials. And the commercials are all about the damn hills and you know, like all these MTV shows. So you got to sit through the same commercials all the time as you're watching this. It looks like it's really interesting. Kevin Costner's today. It's about a ranch. And it's, so it's a clash of Kevin Costner and this Hughes Ranch in Montana and Native Americans trying to usurp their power on the land. So it's a battle between the Native Americans and the rich rancher.
You know, he has a rich history battling Native Americans. That
yes, he does.
So
he
it's natural for him. Yes, he's very good at that.
That is correct. And he's got a crazy, sexy daughter.
Who's
wild. I mean, this is a wild character, this girl.
I'll get around to it when I can find a way to usurp the commercials.
Like, she's works in Salt Lake City, but she came back to the ranch because there's trouble on the ranch.
To help out? Or just to be part of the
she's
drama?
A lawyer, and she's smart, and so she comes back, but she's nuts. And she's always, I guess she always messed around with this ranch hand. He's like the second in command.
A ranch hand.
So she's always dressing sexy around the ranch hand, right?
Botting around the ranch hand. Okay.
So she's urging the ranch hand to take her out to something exciting. And off the cuff, he says, all right, let's go out and watch wolves devour a buffalo.
What?
Yeah.
Is that her idea of something sexy?
Yes.
Alrighty then.
And so they go they go in the truck and here these wolves are ripping apart this buffalo. And she's turned on, but goodbye. It's kind of.
Yeah, I can't.
What's that? There's a pot for every kettle.
Yeah.
What's that saying?
Yeah, I'm good with
There's
that.
There's a lid for every pot.
I'm good on that.
Yeah, she's wild.
That's slaughter.
She's wild. Ryan in Mayfair. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, what's up? Good afternoon, guys.
What's going on, Ryan? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? So, did you have Lane Johnson on that list?
Yes. Lane Johnson was seventh on the list.
I didn't hear him. I'm sorry about that. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Secondly, The Wire actually still holds up, but how Omar goes out, it bothers the hell out of me. I can't watch it no more.
Yeah, it was because you were expecting the bigger clash, right?
Well, I mean, a 10-year-old, come on. I'm not going to ruin it. Sorry, mm-hmm. I just did, but come on. That's.
A lot of people are bothered by the fact because Omar became the most beloved character on the show.
Well, Marlo actually was my favorite still to this day.
He's your favorite?
Yeah, and
but he had no sense of dignity. At least Omar had a code. Marlo had no code.
Marlo had the code. He wanted to be Avon. He wanted to be Stringer without all the business, and that's what.
Yeah, that's not a code. He was just a straight gangster. He had no other side to him.
Come on.
No, even Avon had a sense of, you know, like they had some other side to him. Marlo has no social redeeming value. Come on,
love
man.
Love Marlo. But if you compare it to Power, if you haven't seen that, that's the show.
Yeah, it's not as good as The Wire. I've seen it.
I don't know. It's great.
It's not even close to The Wire.
Phillies, what's your prediction for the weekend? I think we go 2-1. I think it's a low scoring tonight with Nola versus Wheeler. I don't know if we eke out tonight, though. What do you think?
If they don't, win tonight, it's going to be, they're not going to win two games.
Well, how about when we won the first versus San Diego? That means if we won four straight, we won six straight. Well, guess what? One versus San Diego, lost the last two. So, you know what I mean?
If Wheeler beats Nola tonight, they're in trouble. Because they don't win Sunday.
We're in trouble already. So, I mean, let's be realistic.
They can't go 1-2 in this series. So, Nola is a must win tonight.
Must.
Yes.
He's minus 145. I don't know if it's even touchable tonight, to be honest.
Minus 145, huh, for Nola? You like that bet? Minus 145, Nola against Wheeler?
Yeah. The Phillies are going to win tonight. Let me double check that line.
You're going to win tonight?
Yeah, let me double check that line, though. I don't trust lines unless I see them myself. Uh, Yeah, minus Philly. Yeah, it actually opened at minus 132, and it's up to minus 145.
Most people bet Nola.
Yeah, Nola wins tonight.
And they have to win tonight.
No, they have to. No, if they don't win tonight, they're going to lose the series, and then basically the season mathematically is over. It won't be over, but it's over. They won't be able to make up ground. They have to get on a streak where they go like 7-3 over 10 games.
Mm-hmm. I agree. 610-632-0975. Coming up, our fantasy draft at the 3 o'clock hour, where you pick the great Philadelphia players of all time in any sport, and we're going to compare our roster against your roster and see who wins, and we'll get Twitter feedback on who has the better roster as the day goes along. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
2:46, Mike Missinelli Show. You know, regarding the 10 most important Eagles by rank, I realize I left out Jason Kelce. Does Kelce belong on the list ahead of Peters?
No.
No?
No.
No.
He's a great center. I mean, he's mm-hmm. No, you know what?
Well, who's going to, well, if he gets injured.
Yeah, he does.
He does? Ahead of Peters?
Because Dillard. You have backup.
Yeah.
You have a guy who we're pretty sure can play. We don't quite know
who's going to replace Kelce because if Wisniewski hasn't looked sharp playing center.
And then if that case, you hope that Brooks is back and then you have Big V playing guard. No, actually Dillard makes JP less important. And yeah, there's an argument that can be made.
Mm-hmm.
At first blush, I agree with you, but Dillard is like, that's a nice backup.
I used that rationale in my head before I had Kelce on the list, and I changed it. So I can replace Peters with Kelce. But you don't think Goddard belongs in the top 10, and I do. I think he's going to be a major part of what they do.
I just need to see how much 12 personnel they do. They did the most in the league
40%.
Last year. Right, they did the most in the league last year. They were over 35, and he didn't have a huge impact, but he was a rookie. And it's hard for rookie tight ends because you got to block, you got to do a lot. But how much is Aguilar going to play?
Well, I mean, he'll play a lot, but I think he'll play 60%. 40% is...
Can a guy playing 40% of the snaps be that important?
Yeah, because he's that... He means that much to other guys. Goddard not only means much to himself, but in 12 personnel, DeSean Jackson runs wild.
You're right about it. And there's also, they did a set, apparently, in those Ravens practices where they split Ertz out wide to the right and put...
Exactly.
And put Jackson in the slot with Goddard. And it just makes everybody line up, the defense be uncomfortable.
Yes, that is my rationale for this.
Now, that would make sense because you got to keep a guy inside. For Goddard, you got to have a big guy who doesn't want to be outside at Ertz in space. That will trick people. That will make people uncomfortable.
All right, let's go Steve in the Northeast. Steve, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
I wanted to weigh in on your list, but I had a couple quick questions for you real quick. Being that you're a radio guy and you did some time in New York, correct?
2 years.
Were you ever or are you now a Howard Stern guy?
I never really was.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds odd because most people in radio are supposed to like worship at the altar, but I always did my own thing. I was never influenced by other people.
No, I don't think that you had to be influenced, but you do kind of, the way you talk to people and interview people does kind of ring a bell.
I never really was a listener of him.
All right. My other question was for Tyrone. How'd that Clemson game work out for your bet with Charles?
He won it.
I won.
Did they cover? Okay, I wasn't sure. All right. My list was going to be Carson, and then every offensive lineman we have is important because Carson is the most important player we have, and he has to stay on the field. So you have to put all them guys, and then you can throw in your DeSean's and your Jenkins. I think even Andre Dillard needs to be on the list because he is valuable because Peters is going to miss some time.
Yeah, but you can't put him on the top 10 list now. You're not counting.
The line is crucial.
Yeah, no, I get it. But you can't put the backup on right now on the top 10.
Well, Goddard's a backup for that.
He's not really a backup. He's like a co-starter. You can't put Dillard and Peters on the field at the same time, but you can put Goddard and Ertz on the field at the same time.
I understand.
All right, man.
Thanks.
All right, you got it. By the way, speaking of Charles, the great irony of this was that I put on NBA TV today. What are the chances?
I turned that on.
What are the chances of this? He started talking about the lousy players he played with, right? So I flip on NBA TV today, and sure enough, there's a game between the 86-87 Sixers and the Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks, at the Spectrum on Prism. It was the Prism broadcast at the Spectrum. Jim Barniak, if you remember him,
yeah,
did the play-by-play. UB Brown was doing the color.
Really?
Was UB Brown? Booney could tell us this. He goes way back.
Mike
Gaddy would know.
Yeah.
When it was Prism, was UB Brown the regular Sixers analyst?
I don't think he was.
He might have been.
No, because
it sounded like they were a team.
Because Zumoff was in the studio. Then
I don't think Zoo came after Jim Barniak.
All right.
What year was
that game today?
I think it was the 86-87 season. That was the first year they made the trade and got Hinson, which Barkley was talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the game, and Barkley I forgot to address this with Charles, and I should have. I forgot that he played with Andrew Toney when Toney was going through the foot problems, and when the front office was kind of skeptical that Toney was really hurt. So Toney must not have played a lot that year, because they kept saying, Toney, and he played in that game, and he obviously wasn't the same player, but the old flashes of Toney came back. So it had to be the 87-88 team. Because on the floor, they didn't have a center. So that's when the ruling thing didn't happen. So they played with that center. Cliff Robinson, Cheeks was still the point guard, but Gerald Henderson was his backup. So it was Cheeks, Barkley, Hinson, Mark McNamara, so I saw some time, Danny Vrains. And who the hell else was it? Well, anyway, Dominique ripped Charles apart in this game. I text him. I go, dude, you're on TV, NBA TV, and Neek is having his way. Dominique scored 43 in that game. And they beat him.
Well,
then Doc Rivers was their point guard.
He had no rim protection, so now that guy's going to the
Spud Webb off
hole.
The bench. Tree Rollins and John Konkak.
You know,
Atlanta had a squad.
They had a bit of a squad, better than the Sixers, but that squad was never going to win a title with the Konkak. Those guys aren't going to win a title.
They had 2 7-footers. They went Twin Towers. They were slow. Fratello was the coach. They were a slow team. They were like a half-court team.
Now think about that. You got Dominique Wilkins, and you're going half-court. The NBA has evolved so much better than back in the day. These old-school people that liked the game back then. Slow and boring. What are you doing? You got Dominique, human highlight film, and you running half-court slow.
Oh, man. It was a treat. Charles, you get that. Charles is going, Charles is at the foul line, and somebody from the Hawks must have been giving him some crap.
Oh, and Hubie was an analyst
was
for Prism.
He?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Look at that. And Charles goes, you can read his lips. He turned to the guy and went, bleep you bleep hole. Before he shot his free throws. 610-632-0975. Mike Masnelli Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.